Welcome back to the Ladies Room. The Ladies Room, Vermont. I'm Mary Sensi. We have Chantel and Amanda Lee from Star 92.9. Good morning.
Good.
Hello.
Hello.
Whatever time it might be. There we are.
And we have a special guest with us today. I'm so excited because she's here in studio in person, not on the phone. It's great to have guests back. And welcome back, Dr. Parker from Radiance Medical Aesthetics and Wellness.
Hi, ladies. Good morning.
Hi. Great to see your whole face without a mask.
Yes.
Right. I was thinking that when I saw her. Yeah. And to see you in person. We learn so much from you, so much this time of year. And I think you're probably pretty busy at the office.
Always.
Right. Yeah.
Always.
What's some of the number one things that people are looking for right now and why?
I think it's always, regardless of season, everybody wants to get rid of the angry eyes. That's probably the number one reason people come in and talk to me, is it's that negative expression of when you kind of furrow your brow and you get those vertical or diagonal lines.
The 11.
The 11,
yes,
right?
11.
Yes.
The RBF.
I'm going to hold my hand right here. I have massive RBF. This is the worst.
And what I find is every woman is their own worst critic.
Yeah.
I look around and all I see are beautiful women. Beautiful. And look at this. It's so hard. The radio business is so hard for women to have broken into.
Thank you.
Medical world and the business world.
And
I mean, I have Kendall, one of my office managers and assistants, and you beautiful women. I mean, this is a room of powerhouse women.
Yes.
I love that.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
You should hang out more often.
I do, and the other thing I found interesting is the different ages. There isn't a certain age of woman who comes to see you for help with their skin or.
Nope. My youngest patient is 12 years old. My oldest patient is 86.
Oh, I plan on doing it until I'm in the ground. I want to look so good. I'm open coffin because I've been at Dr. Parker's for the past 30 years. Keep that coffin open. I'm looking good.
All right, Kendall, did you hear that? We're putting that on the website. Right
there. Yes. That's right.
Open coffin plan.
And Radiance is in Williston.
Yes.
Well, we're going to get into our favorite time of year. Summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love the summer. We love the sun. We talk about vitamin D being so important, and it just feels good to wear tank tops and flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
And our hair is back in a bow back in a bun. As the sun kisses our skin, we need to protect it. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's differences in SPF. In sunblock, mm-hmm. there's different types. You can't just go buy one that smells like coconut, throw it on your face, and hope that it'll work. And I learned this from you.
Yep, Mary, 100% correct. That's exactly correct. It's one of my favorite micro nugget lectures that I love to give patients when they come in. And I tell all my patients, I'm really big about education. My appointments tend to be a little bit longer because I really like teaching everybody that comes in. And I can take care of all your aesthetic needs, but I wouldn't be a physician and I wouldn't be taking care of you if I didn't take care of all of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so one of the first things that we go over is, what kind of sunscreen are you using?
None.
Oh,
shame.
I am. I would be Dr. Parker's worst client.
To be honest, you'd actually be my favorite.
Oh,
because there's so much we can do.
Right.
And with simple, easy things. And the first is the difference between a chemical sunscreen versus a physical sunscreen. So a lot of patients think that when I say that, they're like, oh, and I did. I had somebody in my office yesterday. She's like, well, I use an organic sunscreen. And I said, what does that mean exactly to you?
Yeah.
And those answers vary. But the truth of it is the difference between a physical sunscreen and a chemical sunscreen is what's in the active ingredients. And you look at that at the back of the bottle, at the back of the box, and it under active ingredients, if it says anything other than zinc or titanium, it's a chemical sunscreen. Okay, there's over 25 of them on the market.
Yeah.
And they're constantly getting pulled from the market, putting back on the market. Some of them are endocrine disruptors. You can see the metabolites from a chemical sunscreen in your urine within 30 minutes of application.
Wow.
Oh, right? No idea. I didn't know.
So that's avobenzone, octinoxate. There's plenty of them out
there. Wow.
And they're good. They're good.
Yeah.
And they have a place, and we can go into that. But a physical sunscreen is zinc and titanium. That's it. There's only two on the market, and they're elemental. They're literally on the table of elements. And the way that they work is very different than a chemical sunscreen. And this is my little nugget. A physical sunscreen layers into the epidermis. The epidermis is the top layers of your skin. Yep. It's what you can touch. And it's constantly flaking off because they're compact, dense layers of dead skin cells.
Okay.
And the physical sunscreen, the zinc and titanium, interdigitate into those layers. And it shades all of the underlying dermis from everything. So that's UVA, UVB, UVC rays.
Wow.
Heat, physical light. And all of that becomes important, and I'll tell you why in a moment. And so it shades everything. It's basically like a blanket of protection, okay? Now, chemical sunscreens, the way that they work is they were developed in labs in the 1980s because that's when the American College of Dermatology came out with all of the sunscreen and melanoma and skin cancer warnings.
After we were sitting in the sun with baby oil.
in our tinfoil tent.
and our tinfoil tint and that Q-tip, whatever that was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're right.
You and me both, sister. I was, you know, in tanning booths in high school and with the little stickers. Remember those?
Yep. That's right. Yep. Our little Playboy bunny.
Yeah.
The heart.
The heart, the star.
The star.
I did go tanning once in my life, and I opted for the heart. I will just say that.
Okay.
Right. This is like confessions here.
I know, right?
It's the ladies' room.
Once. Exactly.
Right. And we have to pay for it at some point. So we did damage. We did damage to ourselves, and we can talk about that too. So chemical sunscreens were developed because at the time, there was all these warnings about skin cancer. But the only sunscreen that was really available was like that thick white zinc paste.
Lifeguard.
And the nose. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Nobody wants to smear that anywhere all over our faces. So they developed the chemical sunscreens because they were easily absorbed and transparent and easy to apply. The problem is that they only work on UVB rays. So UVB cause burning, which causes cancer.
Okay.
All right. So, and the way that they work is it's a chemical compound, and so a molecule of avobenzone. It's absorbed into your dermis. The dermis is the deep living layer where like capillaries and blood vessels and everything are. And it's the living layers of our skin. And as a photon, a UVB energy passes through, it's absorbed by that little molecule of avobenzone or octinoxate, and a chemical reaction happens, and it's exothermic, which means it releases heat. So it absorbs that photon energy, light energy, converts it into heat. A little particle of that molecule breaks off, so it's broken, no longer works, and it releases heat into the surrounding dermis. So the reason that becomes important is it just released heat into the surrounding dermis, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, melanocytes, the cells that produce pigment, live in the dermis.
Okay.
Well, they're stimulated by UVA, B, C rays, physical light, heat, friction, trauma. All those things stimulate those melanocytes to produce pigment.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Wow. So that's fine. I mean, it releases heat and, you know.
So is that why if I am just, even if I don't wear sunscreen, if I don't have the right sunscreen on,
right,
and I'm outside and it's warm, even though the sun's not out, all of a sudden I seem like I'm tanning or I'm changing color? Like, even if I'm not in the sun, when it gets summertime, I feel like I'm tanning.
Yep, 100%.
Oh.
And so that's why a lot of my patients, especially patients with melasma, those are dysregulated melanocytes that live in islands in our skin, and hyperpigmentation, people are like, I don't know why this happens. I wear a hat. I wear sunscreen. Why is it happening? It's because it's heat.
It's heat.
And
so interesting.
No matter what sunscreen we use, we can't prevent all of the sun rays from reaching our dermis.
Right.
Okay. So there's a limit to what we can accomplish.
Yeah. Okay.
So the physical sunscreen on the face can make hyperpigmentation, specifically melasma, worse. Physical sunscreens are going to prevent more of all those stimulating factors from reaching the melanocytes and stimulating them. We want them to be quiet. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there an SPF, like, what's the best? 50, 100, does it matter after a certain point? That's always been my question about sunscreen. It's like somebody has said, well, after 30, it's
I was just thinking doesn't mean the anything. Same thing, because I always gravitate towards the, you know, make sure the zinc is in there, and like, SPF 50, that's going to be as good as like wearing a hat and a tarp, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm getting the sense from you that's not the case.
No, so, and I tell patients that that's like one of those biggest myths, is even if something, even if a chemical sunscreen says that it lasts for 8 hours, it doesn't.
Okay.
Because we just talk about the fact that it breaks.
Right.
It's reapplication. So on the face, it's just reapplication every 2 hours. Like if you're in the sun, obviously when I get up in the morning, I wash my face, I apply my necessary products, and I put on my sunscreen, and that's what I do for the day. Unless I'm going to one of my children's baseball games or whatever, and I'm going to apply, I'm going to reapply sunscreen when I go out into that activity.
Quick question: when you're putting your products on in the morning, does the sunscreen go over the moisturizer or under it? What goes on first? Like, I need a moisturizer and then sunscreen.
I do both. I have a moisturizer that has sunscreen in it too. Is that good?
I think that most sunscreens will have moisturizing capabilities.
Okay.
And that's like a whole nother topic, is you shouldn't need moisturizer. If your skin is healthy, we can get you to the point where moisturizer is used as a protective balm against the elements in our climate.
Okay.
And so if I can get you to the point where you don't need sunscreen, then you know your skin is healthy. But
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Okay, so that's brilliant. Okay.
I know.
Back
we're
to,
gonna go off to something
else. I know, reapplication of a sunscreen.
But as far as the order, depending on what you have in your morning skincare regimen, the sunscreen goes on last.
And then did your question get answered as far as like 30, 50 or 100?
Yeah. What is your recommendation? But again, what she said is
reapplication.
Those are chemicals, right? So reapplication. What about a physical?
Yep. So physical sunscreens typically are no more SPF. The greatest SPF that you can get with a physical sunscreen is about 45.
Okay.
So I tell patients, on your face, you really shouldn't need anything more than an SPF 45. And if you're out in the sun, like you're at the beach with your kids, I have my tube with me in my tote bag, along with multiple snacks and water bottles and everything else that I have to pay for the kids. And I'm reapplying it every 2 hours.
So you don't have your little Bain de Soleil oil put on your...
Not anymore, no! The lemon juice and all the things.
You're trying to find out, so, Chantel.
No, Dr. Parker, I'm telling you, I'm so bad. I just... Because I tan so easily, I don't think about it and I don't burn.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have always gotten in the habit of... I don't even know if my makeup has... any SPF in it. It might. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'm so bad about it. I am. I'm like a sun baby.
And I'm just the opposite of you is I burn. Like if I go outside with nothing on, within minutes, I'm just red as a beet. So I think it's so interesting to hear from your perspective, like, oh, I never burn. And I'm like, I burn like all the time if I don't put something on, or at the very least wear a hat, you know?
Mm-hmm. What is something simple I would remember? Like, should I check my makeup products? Because I also don't use a moisturizer either. So should I check my makeup products? What is something that somebody like me would remember to do every day to protect my skin?
Well, to be honest, we have a fantastic sunscreen that's moisturizing and it has a tint to it. It'd be a stretch to call it a makeup, but you could use that as that little bit of a tint and in place of... possibly your makeup.
Yeah.
And my goal also is to get your skin to the point where you don't need makeup.
Yeah,
that has
always been my goal. I think my skin has increasingly actually gotten better as I've seen, you know, you and tried to better, you know, take care of myself at home. I am really bad about it. I could be better, but I think it's gotten better as I've matured, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would like to not have makeup. I'd like to have a nice little tint and eye makeup head out the door.
Thank you, Dr. Parker. I think this is a good place to wrap up with sun when it comes to sunscreen and protecting our skin.
I think I need tint.
You need to go and see Dr. I'm serious, Dr. Parker. They have all the things.
Even and especially on a super hot, gross day like 95 degrees, the last thing you want to do is put makeup on.
Yes.
So I love that.
Yes.
A little sunscreen, a little tint. Perfect. Go see Dr. Parker. It's RadianceVT.com.